Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission in the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Swords of St. Helios mission from Halo 5 on the next episode. If you like what you hear and you want to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. This episode, we're debriefing the reunion mission from Halo 5. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Come out wherever you are. Oh, God. This is the horror episode.
Last mission was evacuation. Meridian evacuated an enormous, Meridian evacuated as the enormous Forerunner Guardian caused massive destruction while emerging from the depths of the planet. Fireteam Osiris raced back towards the space elevator, but was met by Promethean resistance en route. The Spartan Force blasted their way through the metal enemies, activated the elevator, and climbed the crumbling remains of the structure just in time to board their Pelican and regroup with the crew on Infinity. This mission, while Roland figures out how to continue the hunt using a guardian located on St. Helios, Blue Team finds themselves on an entirely new planet named Genesis. Our squad of Spartan 2s began to explore the mysterious location to find signs that Cortana is near and leading them toward her. The date of the game is October 26th, 2558, so Master Chief and Blue Team went through Slipspace, and it was just a day trip in Slipspace. That's kind of rare. Like, it must have been close, or is this more the Forerunners just...
It's Forerunner.
Slipspace down to a sign, and like...
Yep, it's Forerunner.
They walking through a door, essentially, which is nuts. I was a little confused. We'll go through the opening cutscene. I just want to comment, because this opening cutscene is... back with Osiris, and then it goes back over to Blue Team. We've done that a little bit so far. I was confused because they're talking about St. Helios. The first time I played this, and it wasn't until I've replayed it multiple times, I thought they were on St. Helios and just trying to figure out where they were. Like, it was a weird thing because it just kind of goes back and forth a lot in this mission. But anyway, let's do the opening cutscene. David, what do we got?
We have a beautiful picture of Infinity, looking real nice in space. We get a nice little date, little tag, just in case you didn't know it was Infinity. Lasky pretty much spells it out, pretty much what happened, that's the fourth colony, in terms that's now 11 in total, of that this has happened, i.e. Guardians have woken up and created mass destruction. So like, he's pretty much like, Lasky, we got to stop this now. He's walking into Infinity's kind of main room, I think. No, it's kind of like a lab. I don't know. It's a lot of screens all around everywhere. He's with Locke. Lasky's there looking up on all her screens, and there's like guardians floating and pictures of different cities and stuff like that. It says the warden confirms Dr. Halsey's theory that Cortana is activating the guardians, which is good to know, because then it kind of spells out exactly what's going on. So pretty much they identify a place called Sunion, which is a pre-covenant religious site on St. Helios. But like you said, it's weird because it's like, it's not this mission, but they're talking about it now.
Yeah.
So it feels weird that this cutscene is here now, but I guess it does, well, I guess it kind of foreshadows the next mission, because the point of doing that mission is to get to where our chief and the rest of them are now in this mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Pretty much our plan is to get a ground team in to that guardian. Roland has identified the coordinates, which is like a sound that actually is where the previous guardian went. So he's like, so it's kind of last. He's like, okay, we can't go to St. Helios. That's like a massive civil war. Humans don't want to get involved in it. Let them fight each other out. But like, Roland is like, we have a plan. We do these codes. We get our team in there. We ride the Guardian essentially to where Blue Team went, where Cortana is. That's pretty much what they're doing. They just kind of have a brief kind of chit chat around. All the kind of major characters are there, pitching in little one liners here and there and stuff like that. Nothing crazy. Lasky has a quick think and just kind of says, "Oh, I'll make the arrangements."
I think it's interesting how like they just drop this like this hugely scientific like how they figured out how Roland figured out where the Guardian was going, and they just drop it in one sentence.
Nice and convenient.
And he must have had a conversation with Palmer beforehand, because Palmer just like figures it out immediately. She's like, "Tom, we can stop this."
We can stop this. But you can see why she's real eager to get involved. And obviously, Osiris would be too.
Mm-hmm.
Because their main mission essentially is still to track down Chief. And
But the other thing is, like, her comment, "Tom, we can stop this," is a weird one because they're not stopping anything.
They have no idea what they can and can't do.
Yeah, they're like going to the Guardian to then to have the Guardian take them to Genesis and then try to stop.
And they have no idea what's on Genesis.
Hunt.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't even know what Genesis is or even what it's called.
They don't even know it's a planet at this point.
Yeah. So saying that they're assuming stop this. That
that's where, I guess it's just they're assuming that that's where Cortana is, and that if we can stop Cortana, it stops this, whatever this is.
Yeah, I mean they're just continuing the hunt. They're not stopping anything. But anyway, so maybe that's some of like the whole story thing that may have changed. But anyway, we won't dwell on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've totally lost all feeling that this game's now about hunting. Even though, I mean, the next mission, it just doesn't feel like that anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't at this point. You're right.
Yeah, the story has totally changed in my opinion, where like you're kind of more interested in what Cortana is doing than what the UNSC is doing, because they seem to be just chasing shadows really at this stage. Mm-hmm. Just reacting to what's happening. They don't really know anything.
It's interesting though, just to think if we would have only played as Locke and Osiris, would it have felt like the hunt? Like the fact that we flipped back and forth to blue team a little bit takes that away.
They could have done the flipping better, I think, but it would have been interesting to play it like if there was more missions of hunting, because like there's pretty much, like we said it in previous episodes, like Locke just like, oh yeah, they're here, let's go. Mm-hmm. That's it. They go to Meridian, find them, have a quick interaction, that's it. It's very, there's one mission essentially of you hunting. Do you know what I mean? There's not a whole lot there to it.
Mm-hmm. Quick theory. Sorry, we're dwelling on this too much, but so Brian Reed was the main writer, and I know he's taken a lot of heat for Halo 5. He also has a lot of chops in comic books, and yeah, I feel like a lot of this flipping back and forth between different factions happens in comic books, and it tends to be a little bit better medium to actually do that, where it's like, okay, we're talking to this group over here, and then we're flipping to these other people over here, and then we're going back.
Well, like almost all the Halo books do that.
Yeah.
They have you flipping all over the place, mm-hmm, between chapters and sections and stuff. So like,
so they just didn't quite pull it off in these cutscenes and stuff like that.
I don't think so. I mean, it probably worked a little bit better in Halo 2, but it was then almost like that was almost two separate stories being told. And like we always say back in the day, people didn't like it back when Halo 2 launched, mm-hmm, at all. But anyway, moving on. There is an image. The cutscene kind of fades back and opens up. And then you get kind of the real intro to this kind of mission of... You get a planet. It looks pretty green. Lots of clouds. It's pretty beautiful. And you kind of immediately see like it's a heavily Forerunner structures all around you. You see Blue Team kind of walking out of one of those portals. And immediately there's a cool scene of a Guardian coming in from slipspace.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Team or Linda's like, there's another one. It's there and look at it pretty for a little bit. And then Fred is like, what the hell is going on? What's Cortana up to? Why is she here, Chief? Chief is just pretty much, I don't fucking know. It just says, let's go. And that's pretty much it. Like, the blue team just kind of walk forwards a little bit towards this new structure. And your mission kind of kicks off. So very, very short. And I guess it's kind of weird. But like, what you have to think about is like, they went through a teleporter in the previous mission when they fought with Osiris. And then that's it. They went on, hitched a ride on a Guardian and appeared here.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all they know.
Yeah, take a second to just look around before you even go up to the structure. You can see it's gorgeous. The skybox is amazing. You can see three Guardians around right away. So the one that just came in, the one you came on, and there's another one like hiding behind some rocks or whatnot off in the distance. So it's interesting to see like, okay, now there's more than one Guardian. They're all assembling here.
We know we have 11 at least. And that's just in human control space, because we know the previous cutscenes that there's 11 colonies that this has happened to.
Mm-hmm.
So we know there could be more based on maybe on uninhabited planets, but I think Guardians tend to be on inhabited planets for a reason. So you get the sense that they're all being brought here for a purpose.
Yeah, it's easy to, I don't know. I mean, again, I think back to the first time I played this, it's kind of easy to forget that there's a ton of them around because you're often just heads down firing at who's in front of you. But they're, you know, this whole, you know, from here on, they're looming, you know, large throughout. So take a second and just kind of think, whoa, what's going on here? We'll find out more here in a little bit as well. But we head up to the structure here, and you know, Blue Team's has some fun dialogue back and forth. You interact with this console right away, and it plays Ali Ali Oxenfree, which I don't think anybody has it ever been the sound ever been communicated in Halo, but before this game.
I think Fall of Reach, right?
But like the tone itself. No, like this is the first time we've actually heard it.
Heard it, yeah.
And I've struggled with the tone because when I think of like Ali Ali Oxenfree, I've listened to this tone and it doesn't match up in my mind.
It's like do to what do, like do. When I We think it's like do 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 do, but it's just like do 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 or something like that.
Right.
It just doesn't, I don't know, it's not like what we normally think is the tone to that.
That's why I struggle. It's a cool callback, you know, to the books and the Blue Team and all
gonna
that.
Gonna be very excited.
But the tone itself, it wasn't quite right for me. But I do like the fact that, you know, there's those three little nodes around on this console, and Chief just knows what to do, right? You know, you hit X.
I was about to say that. I'm like, how does he just kind of smashes his hand in the middle and grabs the bottom one and fires it up.
Exactly.
How do you know what you're doing here? I mean, it's always been Cortana telling him what to do or actually just doing it for him. It seems weird. And I don't really understand what they're doing either. I don't know. Is that actually explained? Like,
it's activating. Yeah. Later on, it's like activating the main room that they're going to. But yeah, he kind of is hesitant and then he pokes it and then he opens his hand like he's like on an iPhone. Like, enlarge. And then he grabs it and puts it up top. But anyway. Then you start to descend down in this elevator and you see the gorgeous landscape that is the Genesis. And I think Linda at one point comments about how it's almost too perfect, or it seems artificial to a degree.
It's artificial but organic is the way she refers to it.
Which is, of course, Forerunner's kind of style with this stuff.
MO, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I do love this planet. I think it looks beautiful. It's one of the true kind of alien planets you get to go to in Halo, and it feels that way. Mm-hmm. I think it feels really cool. It looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Did you guys try to shoot the wildlife?
Of course.
Oh, hell yeah.
Were you successful?
Yeah.
You were?
I think it's just one of those bloody blobs that's like...
Yeah.
Oh, you can shoot the little things that run around on the ground?
I think so.
I tried to shoot those. I never hit one. I was bad at aiming or what. But they never died. And then there's like those flying...
I think you can shoot down the flying things.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can. I'm pretty sure I've done it.
So you can shoot those down, but not the creepy crawlies that are around. It's they do a good job of just overall setting this environment and making it feel alive with not only the rock structures, but there's also the flora as well on top of the fauna that's around. It's really interesting. And then you're as you're proceeding, you're seeing these looming guardians around. And Blue Team is kind of yapping at you. We're all trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Any other comments on the kind of this exploration? We're gonna get to an encounter eventually, but they do give you a lot of time to wander around and explore and look.
It's well worth doing it because there's lots of little kind of caves and alcoves and these walls that you have to kind of bash through.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like these orange kind of walls that you can kind of sprint and bash your way through. They always lead to like weapons or intel and skulls and stuff. So I think it's well worth this game. This mission itself really pays off kind of searching around. And like there's loads of special weapons and stuff like that in this game. So definitely explore.
Yep.
Because it's cool.
Absolutely. You eventually get up to this little ledge where you can hear the Covenant chatting at each other and, you know, elites yelling at grunts and whatnot. And there's like something smoldering, a Covenant vehicle smoldering off to the side. Before we go down to that counter, let's go get our grunt birthday party skull.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yay!
You go off to the right, so don't go down there right away. I mean, you can do it afterwards, but go off to the right. There's a little cave and a pathway you go off into. And there's a grunt hanging out on this ledge, holding the skull, singing a song. What is he singing? Do you guys know?
I don't think it's anything in particular. It's just a little tune.
Okay.
It just repeats itself over and over again.
I like it. Da, 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 da. It's a cute little song. And you go and punt him off the ledge.
You get a unique animation here, which is pretty horrible. But anyway, it's also funny.
Yeah.
You can punt him.
He's minding his own business, hanging out, staring at this skull, but you end that quickly, grab the skull, and now when you shoot grunts in the face, they explode in a joyful tune.
Yay!
Joyful hooray.
Yay!
It's fantastic. So yeah, the Grunt Birthday Party is in, is it in all the Halos? I think it's, was it in CE originally?
No.
Not in, there was no skulls in the original CE.
That's
but
right.
But it is in
anniversary.
The anniversary.
Yeah. So turn that on as soon as you get that and enjoy. Enjoy for the rest of the time. I finally, I think Krista, at one point, you gave me shit for not having Grunt Birthday Party on.
During
this. And I finally have just turned it on and it's always on now. So it's, I default to that.
It's a very important part of the Halo experience.
It really is. What do you, so now let's go back to the Covenant that are just hanging out here. What do you guys do? Do you just huck a grenade? Do you hop down there and ground pound them? David, what's your, what do you do there?
Well, today I wanted to see what would happen if, so I kind of, you can, there's multiple ways you can do it. There's like a lower cave, an upper kind of ledge area, and a higher cave on the right. So I went all the way up on the right. There's like multiple intels and different weapons and stuff like that. Like, I think it's the plasma fusion cannon and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fusion rod. So I kind of went up really high, looked down, and kind of just told blue team to attack the elite just to see what would happen. And Linda sniped the elite, and then Kelly ground pounded her way into all of them and then just wrecked shop with her shotgun.
Really?
I was like, that's amazing. That's never happened before.
She ground pounded? I don't think I've ever seen that from a teammate.
Yeah. It was amazing.
That's fantastic.
So I didn't think they could even do that.
No. Krista, how about you?
I smashed the lower cave, like the little entrance to the lower cave. So I smashed through that and then just hucked a grenade in the middle of everyone and they all blew up. The end.
That's some good work right there. I think I engaged the elite right away and just jumped down and tried to clear everybody out. It's a pretty simple fight, but we see Covenant here. The Covenant are here. What are they doing here?
Being confused.
Yeah, they are confused as well. There's some exposition later on that I think Linda might bring it up, or Kelly, one of the two. But they just assume that they've come on one of the Guardians, which is that the explanation, or is that just trying to figure it out?
It's in the different intels and stuff like that as well that kind of explains, but like clearly like the Covenant are around the crash site and it's their stuff, so like they're getting pulled in, those slipspace bubbles, they're getting pulled in with them. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're intentionally getting here. I think it's very much accidentally they've been brought here.
Yeah, it is.
I was looking through the dialogue and whatnot on the walkthroughs, just because there's a lot of really important stuff that we're going to cover in a little bit. One line that struck me a little odd is that Kelly, if you're just like hanging around too long, Kelly will ask John what it's like to have an AI in his head.
Oh,
cool.
And he just shuts her down.
Like, doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
Too soon, girl. Too soon.
It's interesting. I think it's an interesting thing to ask as a new player to Halo, but if you know how much history they have and whatnot, that's not a question that she would really ask them or ask him. But I guess it's more interesting than it is maybe canonically accurate for her to ask him that question.
Well, she may not have ever had one.
She
did. She didn't. I know Fred has, and I know Linda has.
Oh, okay.
Because Linda has her own comic book series, and she takes an AI in that one.
That's right.
And like all Spartans, they're extremely hesitant towards it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy.
But John loves
it. Yeah, Fred had a very bad experience in it. Those books were based before this one too, so yeah.
The next area, there are a lot of Covenant here. There's nothing really new here up until we get to this little structure area. So I don't know, do you guys have any comments on kind of getting up to this like turret area?
I went, so there's a path up to the right that's the high ground.
Oh, okay.
I went up there. It's kind of a hard jump. It's a really tall jump, but you can get up there and there's like a little path up there. And I think there isn't any weapons, but you can kind of have that high ground over there.
Nice.
There's a few, depending on where you go. I think there's four special weapons in this mission and I didn't know that. But I accidentally walked past one. So the Talon of the Lost is a needler, and it's right there, Krista, where you're going up.
Really?
So when you encounter, yeah, when you encounter the second group of Covenant, climb the rocks on the right. The Needler is hidden below the ledge where the fuel rod cannons in a weapon crate are. So I remember those fuel rod cannons. I remember seeing a Needler and not saying, I don't want the Needler. But I didn't know it was that one, which is a bummer.
Oh, shit.
Hmm.
Very cool. There's a Phantom, too, that you see, and that helps you. I mean, you see the crashed Covenant vehicles, but then seeing the Phantom around, so you're like, oh, okay, all right, so maybe something more survive. So either that Phantom came over, like just hanging out on a Guardian's shoulder or something like that, or maybe a larger Covenant vehicle is here as well. But you do see quite a bit of destroyed Covenant vehicles around. So it's just interesting to speculate what actually came through. Maybe that's in the intel. Chris will take us through that later. The turrets are kind of a pain in the butt, especially in the higher difficulties that you get to. There's a structure that you're kind of climbing up towards, and there's a bunch of elites, and, you know, we always have grunts and jackals and whatnot. But those turrets are up there just kind of pounding you. And there's some snipers up top as well. So this is a little bit of a choke point that you got to take your time and just be precise, really. I mean, Chris, I imagine you're just taking out the turrets, the pilots of the turrets right away.
Yeah, beam rifle and plasma pistol go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of have to fight from a distance because they will overwhelm you if you get up too close. David?
Yeah, definitely in the higher difficulties. I had fuel rod here today, so yeah, fuel rod the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And I set my team on one of them as well.
Oh, yeah, good point. So you mean just to shoot it down or to take it over?
Yeah, I'm trying to do that as much as I can just to see what they'll do, honestly. You know, a lot of the times they just run forward and die, but especially heroic. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they do interesting things. So, like, I'm trying to give them extra weapons as well and stuff like that. See, they tend to be smart enough when you tell them to pick up a weapon that they'll drop their pistol forward as opposed to, like, their primary weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But then it doesn't seem, the AI just seems weird about using those power weapons then. They don't seem to use them that often. But I just wanted to do it just to see. So I had given, I think Fred picked up a fuel rod here, and I don't think he actually fired it, but I essentially just sent them against one and I fired against the second one. And it kind of worked out pretty well.
Okay.
I would have loved to have one of those turrets closer, like instead of just being right next to each other, the door, one like on closer up, because then you could actually jump in and use it. But by the time you get up there, they're either destroyed or there's no point to actually hop in them.
You can go up very high on the right and kind of flank them a bit. So if you had your team down the end distracting everybody, you could probably get up and get into the turret and then shoot down. I've definitely done that, but there are enemies around you, so you need to be kind of like, need to be able to take them out and then fire your turret down.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little cave off on the right, too, that I usually kind of sneak around the side. That's typically my approach, is to go over there, hang out, and just let the silly Covenant come to me and clear them out, and then just use my carbine at a distance. But you're really, at this point, you know, we haven't fought a lot, but you've probably run out of your UNSC ammo, so you have to pick up Covenant weapons. So, you know, pick your favorites and go from there. Clear out this area. You go into another structure, and there is some really key dialogue here. So you have another console that you're going to use. But as you're walking up to that console, I'll just read it off really quick. Anybody from Blue Team says, the shield lowered when the last of the Covenant drops. So this area that the Covenant's in front of is being protected. Like, they couldn't get into it. But as soon as we killed the rest of the Covenant, then the shield went down for us, essentially. Fred says, almost like someone's trying to keep the Covenant out. Linda says, but not us. Then Kelly chimes in, assuming we're right and Cortana is on this planet, how did she get here? ?
Ooh.
Then John says, the Didax ship was pulled into slipspace. It could have ended up anywhere. That's super key.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because you thought detonating the nuke at the end of Halo 4 blew up the ship, but clearly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe only part of it.
As I was doing research for the season, really, is like, I was like, what was it called again? The Mantle's Approach? Like, where did the Mantle's Approach go? But it was pulled into slipspace kind of when during that, or at the end of this whole fight with the Didact in Halo 4. It was destroyed in some capacity, so they're like fragments. But one of the things that Cortana said when she, you know, said we said our goodbyes in Halo 4, she says, like, the rest of me is down there. When she's saying down there, she means the mantle's approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, along with the Didac ship, were then transported or ended up here, is what this is saying. Very interesting. But this, like, a little, like, one sentence
yep.
helps explain a lot of stuff. But it's just, you know, they don't dwell on it too much. They just say, oh, yeah, that's probably happened. They're like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course that's what happened. Makes total sense. So you use the next console. So there's the two of three. This is the second console that you use. The team then starts to be like, we're being led somewhere. Are you sure you want to be doing this, John? And he's like, yep.
Yippers.
He's a man with a mission.
Yeah, yeah. Don't, because I think all of them are expressed like, this is a little weird. I think we should be careful. He's like, nope, we're just going to keep going. So like, all right. Cool. You're the boss. You're the guy with the green armor. We just have our white armor.
It's true.
They're blue. Bluish.
Is it bluish? Is it like a blue tint?
Fred and Kelly are definitely blue. Linda's white.
When they were all walking in the very beginning, it looked like he was the only one with green, and it seemed like they all had the same color on the back. But I'm not the best with colors, so don't take my word for it. I often get my browns and my blacks confused. But I'm also getting dressed in the middle of the night, or in the middle of the darkness. Anyway, so we go down this elevator, and then we crawl through some of these caves here, and then another guardian shows up. And this is where Linda chimes in and says that that's probably how the Covenant got here. We have a light bridge then, you know, kind of appear in front of us and continues to take us along the way. And then we get another cutscene. David, what's going on?
Cutscene. Right. Well, right before you do that, before you cross the bridge, if you go to the left, climb the rocks, you'll find a weapon against the cliff wall at the back, and that's the Pool of Radiance, which is a fuel rod cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Never used that. So there you go. So, yeah, I want to say that, like, seeing in the game the actual subspace of the Guardian come in gameplay was really fucking cool. I thought that was mm-hmm. such a great moment. It's great every time I see it. I know they do it in cutscenes all the time now, but it's still great to see and really impressive to see it during gameplay. So anyway, you walk up to a light bridge and you get pretty much blue team walking across. It activates upon their approach, essentially, like Chief says. It's like, clearly we're being directed here. It closes off behind them when they get across. So clearly they're being directed. And I'm looking at them now. Yeah, Fred is definitely light blue.
Okay.
Kelly's really light blue. Like, I would almost, you could even say white. So I'll give that to you, Colin.
All right. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And Linda's like a dirty white, like dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty girl.
Yeah, yeah. So blue team walk forward and pretty much walk into like a Covenant graveyard. Like,
yeah.
These guys have been mangled and like it's going for a real ominous feel. This kind of mist, there's just like dead bodies everywhere. Blue team are kind of walking their way through, kind of going, what the hell did this? We know what did this. It's clearly there's Prometheans here.
Mm-hmm.
And as the guys kind of step forward, there's like a cool, slow reveal of Warden Eternal walking out and approaching Blue Team. And he's really not happy with Blue Team. it's kind of cool. He very much has his own identity, which I like, that he's not just a robot. Do you know what I mean? I do get the impression, like we said, he's just pretty much, he's not Didact. Do you know what I mean? That they are setting up a Didac light here, which I like. I like he has, there's a bit of a flavor to him, and you get that here where he's pretty much saying, Blue Team are like, identify yourself. John is just kind of like taking command of the situation a little bit, and the Warden pretty much just explains himself that he's here with Cortana. And Blue Team are kind of like, okay, this is weird. Clearly they're not used to seeing this. And he says, John says, she called us here, and he says, and you came scampering.
Mm-hmm.
So you can definitely get the hint of he's talking down to them. Do you know what I mean? He's very much, he has his reasons of what he's doing. And that slowly gets kind of revealed throughout this mission. They have a brief conversation. So she knows your forgotten name, who you were before you were 117.
Which is crazy.
And a weird thing to say. And he says, don't you find it odd that your most trusted companion would keep so much to herself? So Blue Team don't really respond, but you can see that, like, it makes an impact on John.
Mm-hmm.
Makes him consider these things. So the warden, John says, like, take us to Cortana. And the warden just kind of slowly fades through his little mini slip space portal and says, not just yet. Come forward and we'll talk more, essentially.
I like the facial animations that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has a sense of emotion. Where it's interesting to see that, like, he's able to emote way more than Blue Team are, like the Spartans, which is a kind of cool contrast.
Interesting, yeah.
But, like, they still do a great job of, like, you can see John being emotionally impacted. It's just the way his armor, the way his posture takes, him lowering his weapon slowly and stuff like that. And just, you can see his head tilting. You can see him thinking, which I liked. And you can see that he's kind of confused. And obviously, this is a very emotional mission for John. And like we said, it's all kind of building up. Blue Team, I like the way when the warden approaches them, they just kind of fan out without saying anything. I thought that was really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You could see that they're ready for a fight. And they're, gentlemen, they're just taking flanking positions. While John kind of takes the heat, really. And then Blue Team pretty much just walk forward into the door as it slowly closes behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, because kind of Linda just kind of, like, looking out behind them and stuff like that. I thought it was kind of cool.
So,
and
then, as the player, this is the second time we've met the warden, but this is Blue Team's first time meeting the warden, and they both have had similar-ish conversations, both Osiris and Blue Team, which is interesting. Now, we're about to get into a bunch of exposition that is very important and key. I just want to throw this out there in the connection between Halo 4 and Halo 5. What if this was the Didact? How cool would that have been?
You wouldn't be working with Cortana, though, so the plot kind of falls apart.
Yeah, but it would have been at least a good,
it'd be interesting, you
know, connection, right?
Like, but then if they changed the story that the Cortana and the Didact are fighting each other on this planet, and that the Covenant are just in the way, and then it's just kind of like they're just casualties and stuff. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
That two of them are stranded on this planet fighting each other.
And that would have been super cool. I never thought about that.
Yeah, Cortana brings John in to kind of like fight for her. Because obviously Didact has control of maybe Prometheans and on this planet, and maybe Cortana has some others and stuff. It would have been cool to see that kind of stuff.
Amazing. I love that. Have you thought about that for a while?
It literally came to me 2 seconds ago, and I'm pretty happy about it. I won't lie to you.
Let's get online. Let's make some posts.
Let's make some phone calls. You know, we call up Jeff and like, Jeff, we can fix Halo 5 for you. No problem.
Alas, there is no Didact because the Didact has been superimposed, as it was told in Escalation.
Yeah, after he killed all those cosplayers.
That's right. Poor Black Team.
Really brutally.
Yeah. All right, so now let's have the conversation as we're fighting. And so a lot of super interesting and important things are going to be happening here. So Warden let through, so he allowed Blue Team to pass to get on the Guardian back on Meridian. And then because he's hanging out, you know, he says he's, you know, in defense of Cortana or where he's working with Cortana. And then we actually meet him face to face here, which I don't think that they met him face to face in Meridian. He just wasn't around. He didn't form his body. But we see him face to face here. Now he's a little hesitant. He's like, now I have you on Genesis. Now I'm not so keen on what you guys are up to, because and I will read off some of this dialogue here. It says, you answered her call. Why? What do you intend to do when you reach her? Shall I begin? When you see her, you intend to, and he's going to tell her, you know, tell them, but then John stops and says, I've come to bring her home. Warden says, if you understood what she has become, you would not speak of such juvenile concepts as home, which is really heavy.
What a dick.
It is. What a dick. But I thought the way Juno says, shall I begin? You intend to do what with Cortana? As if, like, he was starting their sentence for them, like their children, and mm-hmm. want them to finish the sentence for them, and John does exactly what he expects.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I thought that was kind of cool. And then you can see there, obviously, this is now the main point of where he turns against you. And you'll say why. Well, there's more dialogue here, yep, which is cool.
Exactly. I'll read the rest off. So there's some fighting. We'll come back to the fighting. But this exposition dialogue is super important. Warden says, your trust in one another is an innocent folly, but one which darkens her true promise. John just says, where is she? Tell me where she is. Then Warden, now this is the one right here. So Warden says, I shall spare her the inevitable suffering of your betrayal and end you now. The mantle of responsibility begins belongs to Cortana and the other created. I shall see it remains forever beyond your grasp. So there's lots going on here. I just want to say
that's crazy.
My callback
that should have been in the cutscene.
Yeah, it should have.
Yeah, that should have been told totally. You where your attention was on him and not just in gameplay dialogue when you're fighting.
Totally.
Too important for that, like.
Absolutely. So that's why I mentioned the Didact earlier, because he's all about the mantle of responsibility, right? And then the warden brings up the mantle of responsibility here, and we'll find out soon more about that. But he more or less says, as soon as you talk to Cortana and she explains her plan, you're not gonna like it. And so he knows that, right? And so now that's why he's resisting all of a sudden when you're on Genesis.
Which is an interesting foreshadowing to what actually happens. And even Fred has some interesting dialogue, and Chief answers him back really. And I thought that was an excellent kind of back and forth there. Which I don't know if it's yet here now, or is it a little bit later? It's probably a little bit later. I'll talk to you later. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have probably.
I'll wait till we get there.
Okay. Any other thoughts, Krista, on this whole kind of?
They made Nathan Fillion extra handsome.
You haven't mentioned it in a while. Thanks for bringing that up.
I know. I thought I would mention it just to remember. I mean, it's still like we don't exactly know like what the created are up to, so it just kind of keeps getting mentioned. So it's kind of like what?
This is the second time they've mentioned the creative, right? So yeah. Sloan mentioned the creative, and now Warden has mentioned the creative. What's the creative? We'll find out more later. But there's lots of interesting things going on. If you've seen iRobot, then you'll know what we're talking about. But continue on. So this conversation is happening while you're kind of fighting now the Prometheans through these cliffs and rocks and whatnot. This is an okay fight. You know, it's hard. There's enough going on where it is hard to really pay attention to that, to the conversation between the Warden and Blue Team. So that's why I felt like it was necessary to really call out that dialogue. Anything here in the lead up to where we're actually going to go toe to toe with the Warden? This you're like jumping over little cliffs areas, and there's some officers that have their splinter turrets, and meanwhile the soldiers are teleporting all around. David, do you like this encounter here through the caves and the rocks?
It's pretty short and sweet. I don't mind it. I remember struggling for Legendary. I think those splinter turrets murdered me every time.
Mm-hmm. You reach a choke point like down below.
Yeah, and there's two of them just waiting for you. Yeah. There is like there's like a binary rifle hidden in here somewhere, so yeah, you can pick that up. So I picked that up today, and I haven't used it in a long time. It's kind of it's more beamy this time around. It's not a single solid shot, and I kind of forgotten that about it, that it actually like. It's kind of like the focus rifle, but like it has a shorter, let's say, beam time before you get a kill.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of messed up my first couple of shots, not really remembering how it actually fires. But it's pretty cool. That's pretty much all I did here. Nothing crazy. It's pretty basic area, to be honest.
I think I try to get a splinter turret as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Usually one of those officers comes over.
Yeah. And I bring one with me into the next area, too, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chris, anything else?
Pretty much the same. Splinter turret and binary rifle is what I pick up in this area, and just kind of mosey my way over to the next area.
There's a couple of watchers, too, so take care of those bastards, which is interesting. I guess we've seen watchers without knights before, but usually they're birthed by knights. They're hanging out, with probably protecting these officers with the splinter turrets and whatnot. But yeah, so have some fun, jump around. There might be some intel in here to grab as well. But then we'll proceed, and then we'll have some more conversations with the Warden. Actually, that last line that I read about Cortana and the creative, that's kind of delivered here at the end. But now we have a Warden fight. We have another Warden fight.
No,
what's going on? So I just round wanted to pause two. Here. I know I danced around it in one of the previous episodes, but there are more. If you played the whole game, you know. But there's more than one Warden. What the hell? Why are there more than one Wardens? In the cutscene from Unconfirmed, when you first walk into that room, it tells you. It shows you. It's like there's and it tells you when the Warden pops out of his little pod. Like there's so many pods around in that one room. It's crazy. And the Warden has more than one body.
What? There's
lots of Wardens. And you'll find that as we proceed, he goes into that little slip space and then goes away, and then he finds another body. And I would imagine he is... I was thinking about this today. The warden, is he just around? Like, we haven't fought him before in Halo 5. Is that because he's only guarding the Guardians?
We have fought him before in Halo 5.
Oh, sorry. I meant Halo and all of Halo and the other games. But is it kind of explained away because he's only, like, he's standing in front of the Guardians? Like, he's only where the Guardians are?
He's the protector sense? Of the domain is what he announces himself in that first instance.
That's true. Yeah.
So but, Cortana is now keeper of the domain, so he's following Cortana, basically.
So why would all those pods been on Meridian? Because that's not the domain is not on Meridian.
I would imagine.
I imagine he has bodies everywhere. Yeah. That he's got rooms and sanctuaries. They call it the sanctuaries of the Guardian, I think is what he called it as. But I imagine there's, like, he can probably move via the domain to any location he needs to be in. And, like, inhabit the bodies there that he needs.
Well, and all...
That's the impression I'm getting.
All Forerunner technology links up to the domain as well. So...
Mm-hmm. And some... Yeah. And very much so, the Guardians, like, they... I don't think they have a central intelligence. So, like, I get the... And it's kind of hinted at in the Legacy of Onyx books and stuff like that. That, like, when they're disconnected from the domain, they become very docile. So, like, especially these ones, because they're being... And they're being controlled almost directly by Cortana and receiving instructions directly from her. So, like, I guess the domain is a very important part of how specifically the Guardians work.
And we've never threatened the domain in Halo, so maybe that's why we've never seen him, because to
that
Chris's
too.
Point.
Yeah, this is the first time the domain's really been, really, directly talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in, like, maybe some terminals and stuff like that.
In
but,
Halo
like,
4, like,
really...
Halo 4 Cortana says, oh, this machine's trying to uplink to something called the domain, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Halo 5
I
is when they're really, like...
Librarian mentions domain. It may be in the Halo 3 terminals at some point.
Yeah.
There may be a domain.
Yeah, it's right, because, like, the domain is very much supposed to be given to humanity as a means of, like, getting them ready for the mantle. It's been like a huge, it's like it's a big resource for them that they need access to that's been deliberately denied them.
And like this is the first time a plot device revolves around the domain.
Yeah. All right, let's fight the warden.
Oh no.
Krista, what do you do to fight the warden? This is kind of cool. It's almost like I think of it as like a stage. Like you're up top in the stands, and then
yeah.
down below is the stage where everybody is. It's the warden, and then a bunch of knights and some crawlers and soldiers. There's a lot going on here, but there's a lot of space to move around too.
Yeah. So up to the left, there's another binary rifle. So I picked that up immediately. I always take out all of the adds first. Like, all those extra enemies before I start tackling the warden.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I take out all the adds, and then I immediately go to the right and go all the way up the cliff, and I hide behind the rocks and then just take pot shots at the warden the entire time.
He never comes up there?
No. And I also, once everyone's dead, I sick blue team on the warden as well, so he kind of gets distracted between everyone.
David, how about you?
I'm very similar. I normally bring a Splinter Turret in with me, so immediately when he starts and the battle starts, I shoot the crab out of him with the Splinter Turret because you can get a good bit of damage and a couple of hits into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of retreats back and up when he takes enough damage.
Yeah.
And then sends enemies against you again. So I pretty much do that. Focus fire on him straight away. When he retreats back, I then take out all the adds. And pretty much the same as Krista. I took a more direct route this time because I picked up the incinerate cannons dropped by the knights kind of just charged him up and got some good shots on him from a distance. Eventually, I think when he takes enough damage, he came down to fight me again because I was kind of in the mid. But then I had blue team on him and they all just kind of where they were at the time was all around him. So it was very kind of easy then when as soon as he came down because he was severely weakened at that stage and we killed him pretty easy.
Nice.
You have to be careful from his big ball of death that he shoots at you. So
yeah.
If that hits you, it's a one hit kill. So you got to be careful with that. He got me a couple of times down a few times with that.
That thing will definitely track you down.
That's why you hide behind the rocks.
Yeah. I try to kill him. I usually kill him fairly early and then clear out everybody else. So my focus is completely on him. Oh. I kill some crawlers and some shoulders here and there, but I want to get rid of the big bad first, and then I go around and clear out the rest of the knights and stuff like that. But I do leverage those cliffs to your point as well, but I'm usually kind of tucked off onto the side. And this fight, especially the last time I played it, I was down quite a bit, but I played with my buddy Justin again, and you know, we did pretty good. It didn't take us too long, but I do remember that the blue team seemed to be a little more competent at this point, and in this fight, and they didn't all die off right away, so they were able to revive me when I was playing solo as well.
And in this valley is hidden in a crevice on the far end on the right wall, you get the River of Light, which is an incineration
so
cannon,
good.
And it's amazing. It's a really good cannon.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds amazing. Is this where, I think the skull is off on the side too, isn't it?
No, that's near the very end of the game.
Okay.
Our mission, sorry.
A little further. Okay. So a little further up, we'll get that skull. But we end the fight, and then another guardian comes in. So what are we at now? Are we at 5 now on Genesis? I think so. And then, we're going to wander around, and a light bridge presents itself in front of us, and we hear Cortana's voice for the first time.
Uh-oh!
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for some emotion, right? We've been chatting, we've been talking around it, and we know Cortana's, or we believe that Cortana's actually out there, but we finally get to hear her voice, and we have a nice little conversation with her. Krista, what do you think about this conversation with Cortana right away? What are your initial thoughts?
It's interesting. I mean, she says some plot stuff, but doesn't really explain anything.
Has she not been able to talk to him because the warden has been stopping that?
I think it is, yeah. They're trying to keep them apart. She even says, like, oh my gosh, he's going to be coming back. You better move your butts. She's like, okay.
Which is weird. You think she'd have more control over him than she does. And then she kind of... Well, there's later spoilers, but... I also get the hint that Cortana is deliberately not telling you stuff and deliberately didn't contact you at the start to kind of leave it last minute because of what happens later.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something the warden was preventing as opposed to her just deliberately not engaging.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this, as your last couple comments, we've kind of been saying this game is hard to talk about just mission by mission when you've played the whole game, because
there's
so much that reveals itself later that, like, then all of a sudden everything at the beginning makes sense. I feel like that happened way more, has happened way more in Halo 5 than in the other games. We haven't had this much trouble talking about the in the moment.
It feels like everything is giving you more questions to ask. And mm-hmm. it's kind of hard, kind of like, okay, the answer, that's a little bit later on, a little bit later on, and then there's more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just a lot of connections in this game. And
yeah.
I guess it is hard, like you said.
Cortana says that she says that we're on Genesis. We haven't heard that yet. So she specifically says it. It's a Forerunner planet, a Forerunner world is what she says. And then she also says here that she kind of hammers home that the warden has a few million bodies.
Yes.
And so at that point, and it's just one line, again, like missable if you're just playing through the game and you're like, well, why am I fighting Warden again? What the hell? And if you miss that line, then that may not make as much sense as you want it to. Any other, let's see here. She talks about the domain
weird.
Here. Yeah, she's talking very, is it high and mighty? Or she's very confident.
It's
right?
Almost like how you would talk to a child when you're calming them down, kind of.
Okay.
That tone, like that soft, like non-escalation tone, trying to keep a level.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it's really weird. Like the only time you kind of actually hear the actual Cortana is when she's making a joke about like the main building you're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's the big building, put it on a light show. It's like, okay, that's Cortana. But what a everywhere else is not Cortana. What's going on? Then she starts preaching.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
And then the preaching happens.
She talks about the domain. So we're like, okay, wait a minute. You're dead. She said, nope, I'm not dead. The domain fixed me.
It's like, okay.
How does the domain fix an AI?
Magic.
We kind of talked about this before. I don't know if it was this show or many other shows and stuff like that. But in terms of like Rampancy is when AIs tink themselves to death, where they don't have like enough physical, digital, virtual space,
mm-hmm.
and they go crazy. And since the domain is a galaxy-wide system, I think it's a case of they now have potentially infinite space to think. So, I guess it's just they have more memory.
Oh, quote,
if you can hear my air quotes, then that's kind of my interpretation of how rampancy is just cured, just based on what rampancy actually is and based on what the domain is. And when you put those two things together, I'm guessing, and then making an educated guess is how that cures AI.
Totally makes sense.
Again, all this information should be in a cutscene, I think.
Yes.
Because there's so much more happening, and then it's so important in terms of like how the reason as to why you would go against her and the reason why you'd flip and stuff like that.
Yep.
Why you would betray.
She says, John says, how do I get to you? Because we've been chasing after you since we ever saw you on, what was that ship again? The very beginning. That ship station thing.
Solace. God damn it, what is it? I don't remember. I'll look it up there now, 2 seconds.
Yeah, that research station. The haunted research station.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, guys.
The only station, yeah.
Help me out.
Go.
Everybody's yelling at us on the episode.
Somebody talk about something all right, else.
So he says, how do I get to you? And she says,
Argent Moon.
There you go, Argent Moon. Thank you. Ever since that he saw her on Argent Moon. So it's just interesting at the side. She was actually talking to him when they were on Argent Moon then, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's the domain, my friend. That's the power of the domain.
Yeah, I guess. So somehow he got knocked silly and she was able to make contact with him after that fall and give him this little vision. So that actually was her. Interesting. But anyway, he says, how do we get to you? And she says, by accessing the gateway, which is that big old building. And so that's what we've been kind of slowly unlocking these consoles, is to get to the gateway. And so let's go up and do another console here. Do the last one, and then we're going to go. Then the little light bridge presents itself off to the side. We're going to go over there, and then this is where the skull is, right?
Just before this. You can also get a weapon here, but I don't know why you would. There is the twin jewels of Mithrilian, which is a binary rifle.
So good. It shoots two beams.
That's in the caves here. Yeah. It's the top of the largest rock pillar on the left, opposite side from where the Phaetons are parked. Oh, yeah, that's why. Because it's that whole segment coming up.
Oh, yeah. So this is what I was going to forget. I told you guys to remind me at the top of the show. But this is our Phaeton driving
Yay! Or you could not drive them, but I don't know why you would do that.
You can fly them.
There's a Chivo.
Yeah. You cannot fly them. That's the only time I've ever done not flying them.
I've never done that. Is it a pain in the ass? No. Are there man cannons around? No. Or?
Yeah.
There is, yeah. It's all man cannons that shoot you around the mission. It's actually pretty cool to fight your way around and up. The turrets are kind of painful because you have to shoot them, obviously, without a Phaeton.
Yeah, like what's your favorite? So you have two different modes of fire, right? You have like a machine gun, and then does it name both of the
I
weapons?
Don't know what they're called.
Yeah. So it's like it's more or less kind of like a Banshee, right? So you have like the bomb, the big one, and then you have the machine guns as well.
It's kind of, it shoots loads of little small homing, for lack of a better terminology, missiles rockets. Yep.
So kind of more like the Mantis.
Yeah. They like lock on and home in and stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time. It handles really well. It's fun in Warzone. This is our only chance, I think, that we're going to drive the Phaeton in the mission, but it's a lot of fun, and it gives us a little bit more, I don't know, just perspective on, you've seen these things flying around a little bit here and there in the missions leading up to this, but now we finally actually get to hop in the driver's seat and fly one around and blow up these holes throughout these caverns, and then Cortana gets to chat at you while you're doing this and, you know, fighting a couple Prometheans here and there, and then also taking out those turrets that are pains in the asses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's more dialogue that's super important here. Let's see here. She talks about the cure for rampancy. Oh, yeah. So this is super important. So she's like, why does the warden think he needs to protect you from me? And warden said that flat out, right? He says, you're going to try to kill her. And she's like, well, there's a lot to explain. Just, we need to talk face to face.
He's like, okay.
He's like, right. Cortana says, the cure for rampancy I've found means AIs can be immortal. That kind of lifespan allows for long-term planning, just like the Forerunners were capable of. AIs can assume the Forerunners' mantle of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And once there is peace, we can focus on poverty, hunger, illness. But Warden believes some will resist our help, and he's afraid that you're one of them.
It's another one of those weird things she's talking about. You're like, yeah.
Like, okay.
Girl, what should... You okay, girl? I mean...
Fred's on board, though. Fred's like, yeah, let's do it.
Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, why would we resist? And then Chief says, I think Chief knows why. I think Chief knows something's up. Because Fred is like, oh, this sounds amazing. Yeah, why would you resist? That sounds like a great idea, great plan. And Chief is like, the type of injustice they're talking about is like the Didex justice, which is imperial peace, mm-hmm. which is you have peace until you step out of line and then we murder the shit out of you.
Yep.
So that's very much reminiscent of, let's say, I don't know, other franchises have it, like the Empire in Star mm-hmm. Wars and stuff like that, of like, yeah, it seems good on paper, but in reality, you lose a lot of freedoms based on to get your peace, you know?
Yeah.
But isn't that what the Romancer responsibility is, or is that just the Didact's interpretation, or perhaps the created interpretation of the mantle of responsibility?
I think that's very much, like, because even within the Forerunner society, you had, like, obviously extremists and people had different opinions and they used to have meet, and you see in the terminals and stuff like great meetings of like the leaders to discuss what is, you know, what's the correct course of action, and you could see the fact that like obviously the Didact had a very different opinion than say the librarian did of like
mm-hmm.
how to go about, you know, interpreting and, you know, doing actions based on what is the mantle of responsibility and what it actually means.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, John is hinting that, okay, well, Cortana is talking, and the fact that we're getting resistance from the Warden means that she's looking in the same way of what the Didact was going to do. Except the Didact was very much anti-human, mm-hmm. Based on his background, which we all discussed in like previous.
Yeah, plus he had gone crazy in the Krypton.
Yes. Exactly.
It's another point, I guess, is that the concept of the Mantle Responsibility isn't a Forerunner concept. It was a precursor concept.
It was. Yes, it was.
So it was essentially handed down.
It was not handed down to the Forerunners.
Right. Well,
it was forcibly taken.
Yes. Yes. But the, I guess the concept was spoken about and understood between the precursors and the Forerunners. But that's where the interpretation of the translation of what that actually is can be confused, just kind of like with, you know, ancient texts and things like that. You know, it was written down in one way, in one culture, in one language, and then it was, you know, thousands of years passed, and now here we are trying to figure out what they actually meant by these words that were may or may not be translating correctly. All right, so super important stuff there. Think about that. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Send in your thoughts, you know, post in the Discord or you know, we haven't gotten many tweets. Tweet at us, email us. We'd love to hear any additional thoughts on this stuff. Now we jump into the Phaetons and do all that sort of stuff. So that conversation happened before then. And then once we hop out of the Phaetons on the other end, we essentially are at the end of the mission. But there is another, I think there's another line here. Oh, yeah. She says just to end that other conversation. So John says, talks about how the Imperial Peace, like the Forerunners and the Didact, talked about the Mantle of Responsibility being Imperial Peace. Step out of line and suffer. Cortana's like, no. It's not going to be like that.
Trust me.
All right. So I think we're at the end. We've talked around, you know, and through the whole mission. Lots of interesting stuff has happened. Now at the very end here, you go and get your skull off onto the right. You kind of go around these cliffs and there's a little platform to go grab it from. And then this structure in the middle is the gateway. And then you slowly kind of walk up towards that with your entire team. Did I miss anything, guys?
No, I think that's about it.
Nope. It's pretty much it.
All right.
Pretty good.
Heavy mission. Good mission. Fun mission. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. You know, I mean, the encounters were fine. There weren't a ton of them, but they're fine. You know, we have our other warden fight. What about trivia? Anything else good that we skipped over?
Kind of two small bits. Apparently, during the beginning cutscene, Lasky's rank badge is on his right pauldron, is that of a commander, while Lasky's rank is actually a captain.
Oh.
Okay.
So there you go.
So they copied it from Halo 4.
Probably. Any weapons that blue team have been ordered to carry during the first half of the level will disappear during the Warden Eternal cutscene and be replaced with the magnums for the second part of the level.
Oh, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that we haven't already talked about.
Cool. What about that intel, Krista?
Oh, God. Okay, so Reunion has...
you said that every time.
Yeah.
You know you love it.
All right, there's a total of 7 pieces of intel on the level Reunion.
Nathan Fillion is extremely handsome.
Nathan Fillion. They made Nathan Fillion extra handsome. Have you guys noticed that? No?
I did.
Okay,
I
did. You did? Yeah. Okay, cool.
He looks great.
All right, awesome. All right, we have some intel. So the first one is Ungoy Personal Log 08312. Jim Rebeef, or whatever it's called, has a Covenant Grunt has a religious epiphany. And it says, and then there was a bright flash. The Guardian pulled us to paradise, and the prophets were not liars. The great journey is true. And then we see then he has one right after this one, so it's 2 out of 2. I was wrong. The demon has come. This is our punishment. They looked in my head and saw that I doubted. Oh, I never should have doubted. So that's kind of fun. And that's like with the Grunt birthday party skull and stuff like that. It's kind of by that area.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to hear from that boy. This next one is a UNSC Marine status update. Separated from the rest of my squad, we were pulled in from patrol around Oban and landed wherever this is. A bunch of coveys are already here too. That's no good. So... not only are Covenant stuck here, but humans are stuck here as well.
Yeah. So, does that explain any? There aren't really any human weapons. I guess
no.
I grabbed this one specifically, and like the guy, I don't know if this was a glitch or not, but like the guy's head was rammed into the rocks.
I think one of the pieces of trivia that I couldn't find any kind of source for that it actually says is that there were supposed to be UNSC vehicles in this mission.
Oh.
And that they were all cut. So I wonder if there was supposed to be a whole stream of like different things in this mission as well. There's supposed to be the mongoose in it apparently and stuff like that. So maybe a whole areas that were cut and stuff like that.
Could be.
And you could have seen.
Oh, that's interesting.
They obviously didn't cut the intels.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. The next couple ones are Forerunner Record. Which is a excerpt of a recording from an undesignated Forerunner builder. So you know these are going to be weird. So the first one says, with Bastion beyond my grasp, I turned to the possibility of the domain. However, there is corruption, the source untraceable, investigations, but no return. Time grows short. All right. Cool story, bro. I mean, awesome. All right. The second one is, acquisition of Durance proved difficult in these final days. And Ancilla has agreed to aid my efforts, yet there is concern if he will carry through. However, if Bastion is indeed achieved the impossible, I must find a way of reaching them. If that path be through death and domain, so be it. We have no idea who Bastion is or what Bastion is. Also, there's an Ancilla, which is just another name for an AI.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, Bastion is absent, not destroyed, simply missing. No other facility is near enough. A new course of action is required. So Bastion must be some kind of facility, maybe to access the domain or something like that. The final one in this mission is, Bastion's location is confirmed. How, though? After dispersal of the halos, an impossible act of reconciliation would be required. It may still be possible. So, they know where this location is. It's weird because, like, after the dispersal of the halos, it kind of damaged slipspace for a time, because when you move big objects through slipspace, it kind of makes it so you can't use slipspace for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what he's alluding to, which means this would have to be like during the Forerunner Flood War.
Oh, okay.
Because the halos were moved during that period, because there was no need for halos before that time.
Yeah. And these are like the console intels, right? Like where you go up to the console and grab them? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. It's very strange. It's just another Forerunner thing that doesn't make sense now, but might make sense later.
Right.
Like, that's the problem with some of this Forerunner stuff when we're reading it now, is because at this point we don't have the next chapter to the story, and usually sometimes that kind of sheds some light. It's like the library and Didact intels from Halo 3, where it's just like, I have no idea what's going on.
Well, they're cause for speculation. Yeah. So the people, I mean, we're obviously, you know, interested in the lore, and you know, we just haven't speculated enough. Maybe that's interesting once we find out what actually happens. But yeah, we just haven't speculated on what's going on in those. All right, we're running a little over an hour. Let's do our community.
Yay!
We'll get out of here. David, what do you got in Facebook?
Yay! Facebook. Colin Perkins, the admin, on October 28th at 2:32 p.m. Secret codes are neat. What's yours and what does it mean? Question for Mission Debrief Halo 5 Reunion Mission. You've got a few random answers in here. Matthew Blankenship says, please don't take my shamrock shake. It's code for do not touch my shamrock shake, or your face will meet a rake forcibly and repeatedly. Matthew likes his shamrock shakes. Rasmus says, the bear is knocking on my door. It means I need to take a shit. Good man.
That's good.
Lucas says, my fiance tells me I'm ugly, and it's just her way of saying she loves me. And for when I post hashtag be the thunder, I really mean I think my hockey team is better than your hockey team, and I'll fight you on it.
All right.
David says, David Dusenberry, it's a solid name. Headlights go up, headlights go down. Code for, hey, you drive the same car as me, and I love you. It's kind of interesting. And there is a whole conversation on cars now based off that. That has nothing to do with Mission Debrief, but there you go.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Krista, Discord have anything?
Okay, same thing. The first one is from Matt, and he says, oh God, Colin, I don't want to hear you complain when these are raunchy as hell.
Have at it. I'll just, you know, sigh in the background.
Dizzy Bumper says, if I told you my secret code, it wouldn't be so secret then. Interesting. Mm-hmm. DeZuto says, I live my life in secret code / euphemisms, except if they aren't so secret, and then everyone knows what I mean. So here's a couple of them. He says, while you're down there, probably my favorite, so. Or does the Pope shit in the woods?
Also a good one.
Impulsive says, my code is just a very loud shit! Which either means that I just found some shit on the floor, or I'm out of coffee. Physical Sky posted a video of like a skeleton demon, and it says, "You better believe I'm gay, getting all this yard work done." Okay. UNSC Brexit says, "Bravo, India Golf Tango, India Tango, hot broad incoming." So, he's got a secret code for broads. And then Matt says, my secret code is, oh no, here Matt comes again, and everyone scatters. That's a code, right? Right? And that's about it. That's what I got.
Cool. Thanks, everybody, for writing in, as always. I think that's it.
That's it.
That will do it. That'll do it for a debriefing of the reunion mission from Halo 5. Lots of really interesting stuff. So hopefully that was a good conversation. Like I said, I would love to hear from you guys. Tell us any more thoughts that you have, anything that we might have missed or whatnot or misinterpreted. On the next episode, we'll be covering Swords of Sanghelio. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time, evolved.
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 Woo! Nice one.